We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It is time to take time for Jesus. As always, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that with Him that all things are possible. We know that through Him that we have salvation through faith in the precious blood that He shed on Calvary's cross, where He took yours in my place, and to bring forth salvation, not by the law, but by the grace of the living God. And He's brought unto us through His grace, through His love that He had for us, that He gave His life willingly. They didn't take it, but He gave it willingly for you and I, for we had no hope within the law was not provided for you and I as Gentiles, but through Christ Jesus and the grace of the living God, through His love and kindness, He brought salvation through faith in Him and in the blood of Jesus Christ. And He paid our sin debt with His own life and the giving of His life and shedding of His blood. We just praise Him today and thank Him for the opportunity that once again that we can lift Him up in praise and worship, giving Him the honor and glory which He is due. And it seems to be impossible, but that's the only way that we can do it is through worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, giving to Him the glory and honor that He is due, and thanking Him for all that He has blessed us with, spiritually, physically, and financially. We ask that God would bless those that have helped us with the finances and those that have wrote to us and give us the input, and we just praise God for you and pray that you will further go forth and write to us. Send us the emails. The address will be given unto you. And we just praise God for the opportunity to be coming into you by the way of the computer and has been made available to all that would hear. We pray that God would give you an ear to hear and a heart to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of me, but because of Him. He is the one that died for you, not I. I'm just a messenger that was called by the grace of God to bring forth and to lift up His precious name. And I just pray, God, that will give me the strength and the endurance that I may need to carry on and do what He would have me to do for His name's sake and for the salvation of the others may hear that they would come unto Him and give Him praise and glory. So we just pray that God would be with you and bless you. And those that, again, that I say that have helped us with the broadcast and finances, we pray God's rich blessing upon you. Those that have wrote to us, we praise you. We thank you for the input that you gave to us and the encouragement. We just give God the praise and the glory, asking that He would bless you in all your efforts and keep you by His grace. For it is by grace we are saved, not of any works that the law could have done or you and I, but it's by the grace of God. So as we go to prayer at this time, as we pray for one another and we give glory to God and asking of Him that He might help us throughout this day and the days to come for how many we may have left, that we will give Him praise and honor, for He is worthy of all praise and honor. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this opportunity once again that to lift up that precious name of Jesus. We thank you for all thy many blessings, for those that have wrote to us, those that have helped us in the financing. We just pray, God, your blessings upon them and help us, oh God, that we might lift up that precious name that is above every name, for there's no other name given among us whereby that we can be saved, but at the name of Jesus, as according to the scriptures. Lord, we just pray that your will be done in our lives, and those that have helped us, those that have listened, those that are out there in all kinds of problems and that we're having throughout the world today, that you would help us to understand that these things must be. It's not what we like, but it must be to bring forth and reveal thee in the, as the God of glory will come forth and rescue those that love your appearance, and you shall bring them forth into thy kingdom. So we just pray, God, that we will win souls for thee and for thy kingdom, that they may be blessed of thee and repent and come unto thee before it's everlasting too late. We honor you, we praise you, and we thank you for all things. We give you praise in all things, and we glorify thee, and to lift up that precious name of Jesus is a desire of our heart, to give honor unto our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just pray, God, that you would bless them and keep them by your grace. In Jesus' name we humbly ask and pray. Amen and amen. I believe my wife has got something here for you now, and we just give her the microphone and let her do what God has laid on her heart there. God bless.
I just praise the Lord again for this opportunity to bring to you what God has laid on my heart this week. And I want to share with you God's will. It's taken from the Daily Bread. And it contains a message. If we would just understand and take heed to what God's will is for our life. We're often looking for God's will, especially we're in a difficult situation. We wonder, what will happen to me here? Should I stay, or does God want me somewhere else? The only way to know for sure is to do what he asks you to do right now, the duty of the present moment, and wait for God to reveal the next step. As you obey what you know, you will be strengthened to take the next step. Step by step, one step at a time. That's how we learn to walk with God. But you say, suppose I take the first step, what will happen next? That's God's business. Your task and mine is to obey this day and leave the future to him. The psalmist says our steps are ordered by the Lord in Psalm 37 and 23. This day's direction is all we need. Tomorrow's instruction is no use to us at all. We do not understand the next page of God's lesson book. We only see the one before us. Nor shall we be allowed to turn the leaf until we have learned his lesson. If we concern ourselves with God's will and obey each day the directions and warnings he gives us, we will find that God will lead us through this day. As Jesus put it in Matthew 6 and 34, tomorrow will worry about its own things. And I want to share with you what Sister Eunice has done, tidbits for this week. It's a little poem. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last, I snatched them back and cried, how can you be so slow? My child, he said, what could I do? You never let them go. Letting go is very hard, especially if you're a parent. You want the problem fixed now. We give our problems to God. But if he hasn't fixed them at a certain amount of time, we take them back because he's taken too long to take care of them. When we do that, we are saying we are smarter and wiser than God. We don't give him a chance to work out the details. Waiting on God is hard, but must be done. He knows how the story ends and only has our best interest at heart. Trust him more and trust yourselves less. Blessed is the person who finds out which way God is moving and then goes in that direction. And a scripture we use a lot and we sing it in a chorus is in Isaiah 40 and 31. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. What we need to do is start learning to wait on God. He will do everything in His timetable and not ours. Many times, like myself, and I know others, that you want something done, but you want it now. One time I wanted to buy something material-like, and I knew that I prayed and God would do whatever He was supposed to do. At that time, I wasn't really serving the Lord like I should have, but I knew God was there and I could talk to Him. But it happened that I didn't get to go make that purchase. A few days later, there was a need came up, and the money was there for me to meet that need. God works in His own time, not ours. What we think we want now, God says, wait, and then we find out something else has happened where we need it more than what we thought we did. And I praise God this afternoon that He has never let me down. A lot of times I wanted things, but He wouldn't let me have them. Now I try to wait upon Him. As the scripture said, they that wait upon the Lord. And I just praise God this afternoon again for this opportunity that we can take time for Jesus. If you would like to write to us, it's Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. And our email address is ecompton31@yahoo.com. We'd appreciate all the emails that we can get. We'd like to share them with you. If you live in the Tampa area and you don't have a church and you like to go to church on Saturday and Sunday night, email us. We will give you the address where the Word of God is preached from the King James Version. And we don't dilly-dally around with anything else, but we preach right straight from the Word of God. The songs we sing are uplifting to lift up the name of Jesus. And I just praise God this afternoon that He has given me a desire in my heart to live every day for Him. As I've said before, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not be yours or mine to behold. May the Lord bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of times that during one's lifetime that they face crises that maybe weren't things of their own ways of doing things that they may think that they can work it out better. But my friend, let me tell you that the grace of God is sufficient for us if we'll only trust in Him and believe and have faith in that sacrifice that was made by Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and that the blood that He shed for our sins and our iniquities is still valued today. There's only one way that we can have that promise that God has gave to us when He stood upon the day, the last day of the feast. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink of the waters of life. My friend, today the only plan of salvation comes through the scriptures that present to you by the apostles and them that have wrote to us in the Word of God to give us the plan of salvation, and salvation only comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. The law couldn't save us. It made us aware of our sins, but it could not save us. The only plan of salvation is given through Christ Jesus, who sacrificed and paid the price for yours and my sins and iniquity, taking on Him the sins of us all, for we have all come short of the glory of God. But He took our sins, nailing them to the cross, and brought forth salvation. For when He was there on the cross, and they was persecuting Him, crucifying Him, and He was dying for yours and my sins, He looked up and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Friends, there's a lot of people today that says they are Christians and they have fault with their brothers. And they say, I love God, but the scripture teaches us that if you can't love your brother to whom you have seen, how can you love God that whom you have not seen? My friends, today it's going to require to love your neighbors and as yourself and even to your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you. So we got to understand that the grace of God has not come cheap. It cost the Lord his life to bring forth grace. Grace is a law of God, true enough, but the law that was given to the children of Israel through Moses could not bring forth salvation. But the law of grace through Jesus Christ has came unto us. And if we read in the third chapter of Romans, we'll look and see in the 20th verse, he said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of our sins. But now the righteousness of God throughout the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of our sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. My friend, there's only one way we can get there, and that's through the scriptures. It be brought forth to us, and the ways that God had anointed the apostles to write to you and I, that the things that which would please God then would be salvation for you and I. Now, there's a lot of people that do things that is contrary to the scripture, but yet and still they say, I believe in God. I believe that I am a Christian, but yet they do things differently from what the scripture says. My friend, as Paul went on to say in the 6th chapter there, after he had spoken that about the grace of God, and that many people today will say, well, the grace of God is sufficient. Paul prayed 3 times for the thorn of his flesh to be removed. Paul's eyes was bad. Now, a lot of people says a lot of different things, but the scripture bear record that Paul was speaking about his eyes was bad. Well, Ananias prayed. Yes, Ananias prayed and the scales fell from his eyes, but it left Paul's eyes weak. But my friend, today, Paul didn't glory in that, in his affirmatives, but he asked God 3 times, and God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul never asked God again for the healing of his eyes, but he allowed the grace of God to be sufficient. My friend, you cannot commit sin and rely upon the grace of God to cover your sins and you still be invited into the kingdom of God. It just doesn't work that way. It's for by grace that we're saved and not of any works of our own. The law couldn't do it, so we got to rely upon that which the sacrifice was made by God himself on the cross of Calvary, where he took yours in my place, brought in the law of grace through Christ Jesus and his shed blood. We've got to believe in the things that the scripture teaches us and not what somebody has said. That you've got to sin a little bit more or less every day, that's not God's plan of salvation. If we sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the one that died for us, and we're going to have to face him. And Paul made mention about that he died daily. Paul, if he committed anything, he repented each day. And so like that it needs to be for you and I. We're not perfect. There was only one perfect one that came into this world, and that was the Lamb of God. God himself came and walked among man in the flesh of man, whereby that he could die for yours and my sins, but he fulfilled all the law of the prophets. He fulfilled the law that Moses gave to the Jewish people, and he set us free because that he turned to us, and by tearing down the wall of the partition that was between them and you and I, he made it possible that whosoever will could come unto him and partake of the waters of life freely. It's only by the grace of God, my friend. So if you're going to work in your sinful nature and let your old flesh desire things that is not pleasing to God, such as fornication, drunkenness, murder, stealing, and carrying on in such a ways as that, fornication, and all these things, idolatry, and you're going to let that rule and reign in your life, the grace of God is not going to cover it, my friend. You got to repent. You got to live in the life that God would chose you to do. And he would forgive us of our sins. And when Jesus died for our sins, he no longer bound by the things of this world. He said he had overcome the world. And through him and his grace, we can do likewise. But if we die to sin, why any longer would you desire to live therein? If we're dead to sin, then why live in sin? God has made it possible that we don't have to, but if you choose to do your own way in your own ways of things and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, following after the crowd because of the glit and the glitter that it may be and the joy that you may have in the flesh and you follow not after Christ, the grace of God is not going to supply you with salvation when it comes time to meet him and be judged accordingly. My friend, it's the grace of God is sufficient. It's sufficient for my healing. It's sufficient for yours and all that who would come. It's sufficient for your sins to be forgiven unto you. But once you've God has forgave you of your sins, you should not no longer walk there in sin because of the grace of God. It's not there. It's not God's will that you should sin. He even makes mention that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The hell, as we call it, as the scripture says, was made for the devil and his angels. But because of so many would desire to go there, it has enlarged itself to accommodate them that would want to go. So whereby is the grace of God? If you desire to go to hell, you go there on your own. It's not God's will because his grace is sufficient for you. It doesn't mean that you can walk in the sins of this world and fulfill the lust of the flesh in fornication and idolatry and these things that the grace of God may abound. Paul makes mention about it in the 6th chapter. Shall we continue in our sins that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Knowing you not that as many that were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death, therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto the death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We have to be dead to the sins of the world and the lust of the flesh, my friend. When we repent, God gives us that ability that we can live in his righteousness by his grace. It's up to you and I as to how we want to live. If we want to live according to the scriptures, he has provided the hope for us by the inward filling of his spirit, the Holy Ghost, to be our helper. It's just like that something other that you had an extra hand, you might say. It is God has blessed us by the giving of his Spirit unto us, to all them that would repent and come unto him and allow him to come into their life. And he will direct our path. He will alter our steps. He will lead us into the path of righteousness for his name's sake if we will follow. You take a shepherd leading his sheep. He leads them by the still waters and he brings them into green pastures. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is being the chief shepherd. He wants to do is to bring you and lead and direct you into the righteousness. Therefore, whereby that when you come into the place that where he has prepared for us, that we can lie down in green pastures and by the still waters of God. We know that in the scriptures that we have hope in Christ Jesus. But without hope in him, we have no hope. If in only this world we have hope, then we are men most miserable. But my hope is in Christ Jesus. Not that I commit the sins and pray that grace may abound. If I sin, I have to repent, as all people do. But Paul even made mention about him dying daily, as I said a moment ago, that he repented. If anything come up that Paul was disgruntled about, he repented swiftly, obediently unto the will of God, to that knowing that sin was not a part of God's plan of salvation. His grace is sufficient for all things. His grace will bring you forth into the righteousness of God. But you cannot use the grace of God for a cloak to cover your sins, because that blood of Jesus covered our sins, and the grace of God will not protect you in your sins, but it will give you salvation from your sins. You can't live in a sinful life in a nature of the old flesh and be a child of God. You got to understand that God is sovereign. He don't need you, but we need him desperately. He had come into this world to provide salvation for us, but it's that we need him. He wasn't lost. He had committed no sin. But he took yours and my sins upon him, nailing them to the cross, and brought forth the grace and the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts, that we may not sin against him. We may come unto the righteousness of God through the grace of God, through that faith in Jesus Christ and his blood that he shed for our sins out on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. It's just as real today as it was the day it flowed from Emmanuel's veins. It dropped down, and therefore it brought salvation. For without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. The animals that God slew, a male and a female, it brought forth and clothed Adam and Eve after they had disobeyed in the garden. They were drove out simply because that if they had remained there and took of the tree of life, they would have remained in their sins forever. My friend, he separated us from that, but he brought the tree of life in through Christ Jesus, in whom that we believe through faith in the grace of God that we can have salvation. The atonement for our sins was paid by Jesus Christ. God himself, as the first chapter of John reveals unto us, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He spoke of John the Baptist to come to make way the straight of his path, and he spoke of him, and when he showed up on the shores of the river Jordan there, when he looked and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," he was looking at Jesus Christ. Jesus came unto him to be baptized, and John said, "I need to be baptized of thee. I'm not worthy to loose your shoes." But Jesus said, "Be it done, that all righteousness be fulfilled." My friend, there's a lot of people that have been baptized today and have not repented. They go by Somebody said the grace of God was sufficient, which it is, but you got to repent. You got to come to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and he said he would nowise cast you out. But if you just come like some of these so-called preachers that goes around and says, if you want to go to heaven, raise your hand. Repeat after me. God, come into my heart, and you're on your way. There's no such scripture that backs that up. He's a false preacher. I don't care where he come from or who he is, how long he's been standing in the way. But mostly he's standing in the way of the sinners and the ungodly, because he preaches to them a false teaching and a false doctrine. You've got to come to God his way. You've got to repent. As Peter made mention to us in Acts 2:38, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And them that speaks against the word of God and says it's not the way it should be, Peter didn't know what he was saying. He lied. Then he is a liar himself, no matter where he's at, who he is. He lied himself when he said Peter lied. Because Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of God. He had to come to Cornelius's house and tell him of the things that were in the grace of God would be sufficient for him and his household. And he received of the Spirit of God as they did on the day of Pentecost. And he spake as the Spirit gave him utterance. And by these things we know that they have received the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, see here, can water be forbidden unto them that have received the Holy Ghost the same as we? You preachers out there and all they that says it's out of occult teaching and all these that go against the scriptures, you've got to repent. You got to receive Christ Jesus as your Savior according to the scriptures, and not because some seminar teacher taught you what to say and what to do. It's got to come from the throne of grace. It's got to come by the grace of God. It's got to come through that shed blood of Jesus, and through him only can you receive the grace of God, and through him only can you receive salvation for your miserable souls, and that God would forgive us of our sins and our iniquities and give us his grace through faith in Christ Jesus, because there's no other name given among man. Allah or no other person, no other name has the gift of salvation. There's only one man, the man called Jesus, there that can give grace unto you. The only name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God took when he told Mary. He said, his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. It's by the grace of God, my friend. And you're going to continue in your sin that grace may abound? Oh, my friend, let me tell you that grace is not going to cover your sins and your lies and your fornication and your lust of the flesh and your pride of life. When you become to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, you'll travel thousands of miles to a game of some kind, but you won't go around the block to hear the word of God. Shame on you. The grace of God's not going to be sufficient for you when you stand before the presence of God to give an account for the deeds that you've done in the flesh. When you stand there and you said, oh, I rely upon the grace, he goes say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't care if you wear your collar backwards or wear a big black robe, you stand behind a glass or a transparent pulpit or whatever it is. The grace of God is not going to cover your false teachings and your false religion. It's not going to bring in salvation to you when you've not repented. It just simply does not work that way. Paul said, shall we continue in our sins that grace may abound? God forbid. God's not going to let his grace cover you up when you are sins. He saved you from your sins, not in your sins. And these that are going around in fornication and one thing or another, that the grace of God may cover them up, claiming that them homosexual people saying this is the way God made me, it's a lie out of hell and the devil's the father of it. And he fooled you into believing this lie, and you will become detrimental to God, and God said you're worthy of death, even to them that have pleasure with them that do such things. Men changing their natural affection from a woman, and a woman changing their natural affection for women with women and men with men. It's going to be a heyday when God comes to judge this old world and the sinners thereof in that have been fooled by the devil, that would bring them forth and thinking that they have something that they have not, and they're going to rely upon the grace of God. It's not going to work, my friend. Sin is not going to enter into the kingdom of God. It don't make no difference whether it's little or big. All sin is sin. There's no such a thing as a little lie or a big lie. It's all lies. You can't stand there flat-footed, put your hand behind your back and cross your fingers and tell a lie and think that it don't count. God sees all that was in our heart. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. All sinners, all false prophets, all of them that doeth not the will of God, that stands there before him on the judgment day, including myself. If he's not pleased with us and he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, it's going to be a slow walk and a fast fall into hell, because there's no way that it's going to be recanted for you or I that we can enter in because of the grace of God if we have not repented of our sins. So we need to look at this and take place that God may work in our lives, that we give him the praise and the glory and honor him for all things. We need to look to him for salvation. He brought salvation into us thereby dying on Calvary's cross, and only the blood of Jesus is going to bring forth salvation. Through faith in the man called Jesus, we need to come to the place that we're in, that we can honor God and give him praise and glory. We need to honor him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and body. We need to look to him for salvation, for there's no other name given by anybody. The man over there in Italy can't save your soul. He lied to you when he says he's a God on earth. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him. There's no way that man can forgive you, because Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and he was the only one that could be the one that would make the supreme sacrifice for yours and my sins, that we could have forgiveness thereof. Through his blood, not through somebody else, but through the blood of Jesus. Peter made mention there when he said that we are not bought with silver nor gold or the corruptible things of this world, but by the precious blood of Jesus. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. But if you don't accept that price or that atonement for our sins, you belong to the devil, and he will drag you into hell and beat you in the face with a soot, so they say, and laugh at you, because he knows his time is short. He's around as a roaring lion, seeking that he may devour. And many are following in the ways of unrighteousness because of false teachings and because the devil has lured them into a lie, and they believe the lie more than believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they'll fall headlong into hell with all the false prophets and the false teachers, and all them that love not God and his appearance and have not accepted the blood of Jesus for their sins. My friend, it's time that we begin to understand the grace of God is sufficient for all things and for all men, but it's not going to be sufficient for you to do your own way, live your own life in sin and corruption, doing whatever pleases the flesh, and that the grace of God may abound over it. It's not going to work. It's not going to save you in the end. what you've done for Christ, what you've done for the glory of God, and what you have in Christ Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and be believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting the blood that he shed for the atonement of our sins, is the only way we're going to make it. You can't make it no other way. There's no back door into heaven. There's no window into heaven. There's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, when the door of the ark was opened there for 7 days of grace, when God told Noah to bring his family into the ark, you see, God was already there. He was there. He said, Noah, bring your family into the ark. He didn't say go in. He said, bring them in. So, my friend, it's my desire today is to win you for the glory of God, that you may enter into the ark of safety in Christ Jesus. If you'll notice that portrayed on many pictures that you see around in different places where the artist drawed the door and he put the Lord, the shepherd, there before the door. And he said, if I knock and any man open unto me, I will come in and sup with him. You notice that the doorknob is not on the outside, but Jesus stood there knocking. It's up to you and I to open the door and allow the Savior to come into our lives. It's not possible. God's not going to kick that door down and bring salvation to you and you don't want it. It's you got to want it. You got to believe. You got to receive him willingly and with the love of God into your life and allow him, welcome him into your life. Repent, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore he will bring salvation through grace into you. Oh, remember, the law couldn't save us, but it made us aware of our sins, but it could not save us. No man be justified by the law, but it's by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, through that shed blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world that brought salvation to us. For without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. We got to realize that that we need God, that he can go on without us. He went on forward without me. I've only been in the world 80 years. I don't know how long you've been in this world, but God was in the world from the beginning. He created it all. He made it all. He created the hills, the mountains, the trees, and all things that live and breathe, the breath of life, that all things was made by him, and without him there was nothing made. We want to realize that God is sovereign, my friend. He's going to be around through all. You and I will perish one day and lie in the dust of the earth, or by whatever means that some people are cremated. I don't have no problem with that. That's between them and their own conscience. But I want you to know that God is sovereign. He don't need me, but I need him, and I need him desperately. Every day of my life, I need him, and he would love for me to be useful to him. He would love for us all to repent, because it's not his will that any should perish, but all should repent. It's up to you and I, my friend, to receive the grace of God with gladness in our heart, to partake of the waters of life freely, to come unto him, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. For without him, we have no hope. But in Christ Jesus, we have hope. And if we have hope only in this world, as I said, we are men most miserably. My hope relies upon him. I look to him from which my strength cometh from. He's my water when I'm thirsty. He's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my Savior because I needed salvation. He brought it forth to me. Oh, my friend, today there's only one way to enter the kingdom of God, and that's through Jesus Christ. His name is above every name. There's no other name. If you search the scriptures there, when the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant from them at that time, than Samuel there. I want you to think about it. When they brought the Ark of the Covenant into their own place in their temple they had built for Dagon, and they got up the next morning, Dagon had fell face down before the Ark of the Covenant because it represented the presence of God. They set old Dagon back up. Wasn't nothing but a piece of stone, didn't have no life in it, couldn't do nothing for him, but yet that was their God. They thought he was something special. He'd come back the next morning and he'd fell down and his hands had broken off. Even his neck was broke. My friends, there's no other God but God himself, the man called Jesus, manifested in the flesh to come and die for you and I. There's no other name given among man. The grace of God doesn't come through no other thing except Christ Jesus, his sacrifice that he made for you and I on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. The time is running out. It's time and high time we begin to realize that the word of God is truth and it's our only hope is in Christ Jesus. If you want to spend eternity in hell, that's your privilege. You can do it. But if you want to spend eternity in the place that Jesus said, I go and prepare for you, you got to repent. You got to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You got to accept the atoning price that was paid for you. Christ Jesus, his shed blood, through faith and through the grace of God that was given unto us, through him and him only. There's no other way. There's no other door that we can enter in. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. My friend, today we need to stop and to think and to realize, where do you stand? If your time was to call, your day was up today, your number was called, and you were to come into the place and you faced death, would you be prepared for it? Or would it fear fall upon you? And you would be such a shame. Would you toss and turn, wrestle with death, hoping that you could pull away from it? But there's no hope, you know. Would you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? It may be too late when that time comes. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. You nor I, neither one, have the promise of tomorrow. For the day is the day of salvation. It's time that we take into consideration the things that which are in the lids of the Bible, not because of someone telling you about it and you not knowingly, but you believe. Some people have believed and believed a lie. Everything that opens its mouth does not speak about the oracles of God. I myself try to lead you in the path of righteousness. I encourage you to read your Bible. Don't take my word for it. See what the Word of God has to say about it. Let God lead and direct you by His Spirit, and then the grace of God would cover you up, and the blood of Jesus that was shed for your sins would wash away the darkness of your sins and make you whiter than snow. How it could be that red blood would wash away the blackness of your sins and turn you white as snow, that's God's business. Just like it is that how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk, that's still God's business. It's not for me to question about it. It's there, and that's the way God planned it, and that's the way it is, and it's sufficient for me. The grace of God is sufficient for me as long as I abide in His grace and seek after Him with my whole heart, that the grace of God be sufficient for me. It's also for you, my friend. It's for them that are in these wars, our young men and women, the policemen, the firemen, them that are standing in the front line of defense to protect and to serve this country. I can't say much for the administration that we're under because I believe it's of the devil. But God be the witness, And God's will going to be done. He sets up kings and he takes down kings. And he's going to take down this administration in his own way, in his own time. My friend, this God that I'm speaking about looketh down upon the world of sin. And that one day, as he looked down on the world of sin in Noah's day, and in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, he's looking down, and when it's coming to be a stink in his nostrils, for we have them to be like the days of Noah, where all kinds of sin is running rapid, men forgetting God and turning to their own ways, and in Sodom and Gomorrah, that the sins of the people at that day was immoral, and they was men after men and women after men, and to the only, they even tried to get to the angels of God that came to deliver Lot from his corruption that was there. He smote them blind, and they still tried to grope for the walls to get to them. My friend, these things God's going to judge, and the judgment's going to be hellfire, and that is not without remedy. It's going to be according to God's will. It's not my will, but his will. It's not your will, but it's his will. He's going to judge the world for the sins and iniquities, and he's going to bring forth righteousness by Jesus Christ through grace. And therefore, we need to look to him, and we need to go into the place that we're in, that we have hope in Christ Jesus. We need to look into the scriptures, reading your Bible, being faithful to the scriptures, and be a steward of God's word, that to know that what God has had to say and not what man has told you, it always, it's not true. Some of it is. I hope to pray to tell you that I will not lead you astray, but I encourage you to read the word of God to see whether I said the righteousness of God comes through Jesus Christ or whether it comes some other way. My God is sovereign, my friend. You need him and I need him, but he can make it without us. Remember that. He came to die for you, that you could have life and have it more abundantly. But the abundant life is not that you do your will, but do the will of our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. I just pray that we've said something other that would help you in this life, that your time would come to the place to where you would find Christ Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to repent of your sins, allow the grace of God to cover you up in the love of God, that he would put his arms of mercy around you, bring you into the place of safety under the shadow of the Almighty, that you would repent and come to him and give him praise and honor. He's the only one that deserves it. Man doesn't deserve it, but a lot of people is giving man credit for something that they have nothing to do with. It's by the grace of God, my friend. And you following after man, you're going to lead you down the wrong way. You need to follow Christ Jesus. Read your Bible. Let me encourage you. Read what the Bible says and be lifted up by the word of God, by the reading and the studying of the word of God, that God may come to you and be your Savior by through repentance. As we pray one for another, pray that God would keep our boys and girls that are in these wars. Hope that they'll come home soon, safe to their families. I pray that they would be able to sustain sustain them from the harm and the hurt that has been afflicted upon us. I believe because of the man's lust for power. And I think that we need to give God the glory and the praise. Pray for our firemen, our policemen, those who are in the front line of defense for us. They suffered much that you could be protected. So let God give you the unction to pray for them. Father, we thank you for your grace. We give you the praise and the glory, looking unto thee to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Bless those, Lord God, out there under the sound of our voice, and help our soul, O God, that we will turn our hearts to thee looking unto thee to be the author and the finisher of our faith. We give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Till next time, take time for Jesus is our prayer. May God bless. Amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.